All right. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can find your place in Luke chapter number 12. Gospel of Luke chapter 12 tonight. And we are, for this week and next week, we are just looking at some things that I think would be helpful, would be encouraging, would be challenging. Coming up here on the October 1st, Wednesday in October, we are going to, and I'll introduce part of this next week, but October 1st, at 6 o'clock, we'll meet together down in the fellowship hall. We'll have dinner together. And so certainly invite you to come out and join us for a dinner together around the table. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll come up for a time of Bible study and be a little bit different as far as the format goes. Going to try and keep the Bible study to about 15 or 20 minutes so that at the end of service, we can save some time. And one of the things Lord has impressed on my heart really ever since I was younger was the need to be a praying church and be a people that are praying. And so there'll be a time at the end of service that we'll break into prayer groups and pray for the prayer requests of the night. And again, I'll introduce it next week, give some teaching on it, some instruction on it. And because I know not everybody's comfortable necessarily breaking up into groups or whatever the case may be. And so we'll make it as simple and easy as possible. And we're going to start a study in a couple weeks on the one another's of the Bible. And you go throughout your Bible and you look at the phrase one another. And there's just a bunch of encouragement when it comes to that phrase. And so that's what we're going to be looking at here in a couple of weeks. And so I'm looking forward to that. So be in prayer. Make sure you're here October 1st, 6 p.m., dinner downstairs in the fellowship hall. Then come up, we'll have Bible study, prayer meeting, and have a time that we close out in prayer for the needs of that week. You'll have a prayer list, some discussion questions for the Bible study, and so it will certainly be an interactive time as well. Luke chapter 12 tonight, and we will be there momentarily, but I'm sure this doesn't apply to anybody that's here tonight, but has anybody here ever made a mistake? Anybody ever make a mistake? All right, we got one person brave enough. Anybody? Miss Sally, Miss Sue, Edward, Joe. All right, so we got some folks here willing to admit to their sins tonight. All right, and we've all made mistakes. We all make mistakes, and sometimes those mistakes can cost us something. How many of us have ever made a mistake that has cost us something over time? Right, we've all done that too. We've all made a mistake that costs us something. You know, maybe you left the water running. Maybe you missed a payment deadline. Maybe you bought something only later that after you bought it, you came to regret it. And thankfully, most stores, they offer very liberal return policy that you can return it after the fact. And provided, of course, it's not something, you know, like electronics or something and you haven't opened it or anything like that. And so you can return it. But today, Mandy and I, this morning had a chaplain's meeting, chaplain's training over at the hospital. And so I went to that at 8:30, then had a meeting here at 12:30. And then Mandy had to get over to Corning for a eye doctor appointment, just a checkup. And so we went rather quickly to go get some lunch. And so she just happened to mention that there was this new Mexican place that opened over in Waverly. And Icarumba, I think it's called. Icarumba. And so we've been looking for a good Mexican place since Mikasa in Oklahoma. And so we found one about a year or two ago over in Horseheads. On Ithaca Street in Horseheads, Sauces, or is it Sauces? So we went over there, but, you know, it's out of the way, so you're not going to drive 20 minutes for Mexican food, right? And so, but so we went over there, we tried it, and man, I'll tell you, if you like Mexican food, they're pretty good. They're delicious, and was well worth it. But but then the check came, and I did a double take at the cost of the meal. I'm like, holy cow! And I'm thinking, man, was this a mistake? And well, then we thought about it and thought, no, the food is pretty good. It wasn't a mistake. It was good. But you know, some mistakes, they cost us money. Some mistakes, they cost us friendships. Some mistakes, they cost us opportunities. But here in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is showing us a man who made mistakes that would ultimately cost him eternity. Mistakes that would ultimately cost him heaven. And these weren't just some little slip-ups. They were fatal errors. And this man is, in the grand scheme of history, he is only remembered as being a rich fool. And this man, he had everything that money could buy. He had everything. He lived the good life. But at the end of his life, he died bankrupt when it came to his relationship with God. And tonight we're going to see from his life three costly mistakes that this man made, and see, Lord willing, how we as Christians today, how we can avoid making them ourselves. And so you're there, Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. And notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 8. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse number 8, the Bible says this: "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before man shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. When then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so here in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is in the middle of teaching about hypocrisy. He's in the middle of teaching about fear. and he's in the middle of about teaching about trust in God. And it's within this teaching from verses 1 through 12 that in verse number 13, someone interrupts him, and this is what they ask him. Verse number 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And so this in verse number 13, this person interrupts Jesus asking about an inheritance. So Jesus, he refuses, obviously, to settle earthly disputes and instead warns against covetousness. And so then in verses 16 through 21, he tells a parable. Now, if you remember, a parable is just simply an earthly story with a heavenly truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is trying to get these people to understand something, and so he's using something earthly to get them to understand something that is of a heavenly mindset. He's trying to get it down to their level, to get it down basically in the layman's terms so that they can understand this heavenly truth and basically put it into a context that they can understand. And so this parable is not dealing with a real person, but it is dealing with a very real truth. And parables, again, they use earthly stories to reveal heavenly realities. And so the culture of this day, wealth was often seen as a proof of God's blessing. And so if you had a lot of money, then according to the culture of the day, then you were a very blessed person. According to the culture of the day, if you had money, if you had wealth, you were a very blessed person by God indeed. And so here Jesus, he kind of takes this idea and he flips it. He turns it over. And he wants them to understand that wealth without God is worthless. Wealth without God is worthless. And Jesus is going to try and get them to understand, you can have all the money in the world. You can be the richest man in the world. You can be the richest woman in the world. You can have the best of everything, the best that money can buy. And if you do not have God, it is worthless. And so there's three mistakes we see that this man makes that would ultimately cost him eternity. And if we make these same mistakes, it will cost us eternity as well. Number one tonight, we see he mistook himself for God. He mistook himself for God. Notice verse number 17 again. The Bible says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. You notice the self-centeredness of this man. You notice the self-centeredness of this individual. He says, my fruits, my barns. At least six times I count in that one verse, he uses the phrase or a combination of the phrase, I or my. And he says here and he thought within himself. That Greek word for that word thought means to deliberate, to reason with one's self. And so in his mind and in his heart, he was playing God. In his heart and in his mind, he was playing the Almighty. And never once here does he ask himself, well, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? Instead, he assumed control. And you know, when it comes to our life, we too are sometimes guilty of that. We too are sometimes guilty of thinking that we are ultimately in control of our lives. And we think, well, I can do whatever I want to do. And we never stop to really think and ask ourselves, well, what would God want me to do? And listen, the best thing you can ever do at any stage in life is to ask, well, what would God have me to do here? And many people today, they live as if they are their own God. They make plans, they run businesses, they spend money, they build fortunes, they build futures, but they never ask God's will. Look, if you would, James chapter 4. Keep your finger in Mark. We'll be back there, or in Luke, I'm sorry. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. And notice there, verse number 13 through verse number 15. James chapter 4, verse number 13. The Bible says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." We need to be careful this evening that we are not so busy making plans, running our businesses, spending our money, building our futures, but never asking God's will. We must always ask God's will. One of the things that I always teach, and we'd have this discussion often at our church in Oklahoma, because we would have people, some folks who they were moving out of town, and one of the first questions I asked was that, "Well, have you found a church?" And oftentimes the answer was, "Well, no, I'm going for this job." And listen, a job is great, but you better make sure that wherever it is you're going, that there's a good church, that there's a Bible-believing church, a Bible-preaching church, that you can get in and get grounded and keep your faith to where it needs to be. And, I used to tell folks, and our folks there in Oklahoma, because they were taught this by previous pastors, and it was just something I believed, was that you're contemplating a move somewhere. The first thing you ought to contemplate is, well, not how good the job is, not how good the benefits are, but is there a good church for me? Is there a good church for my family? Is there a good church to where we can still grow and go and be what God would have us to be? What is God's will in this situation? And listen, and just because you get offered money does not automatically make it God's will. And, sometimes we get blinded by dollar signs, don't we? We get an offer on something, I'll tell you this story because I find it quite humorous. I got an email here recently, and from a website that you have your resume on, and that they sent me an email, and they said, "You haven't updated your resume in, you know, yada yada yada, however many years." And so just for fun, I go in and I see, well, how long has it been since I updated this thing? And so it was literally 2016. Was the last time I went in and I updated our resume. So I went in, I just updated it, and satisfying them, because, you know, Lord forbid, they'll just keep emailing you and bothering you and what have you. And so I went in and I updated it, and then a couple of days later, got a phone call from a church staffing place. And they said, "Yeah, we saw your resume, and we thought you'd be a good church, or a good fit for a church in New Jersey." And well, right there, that was a strike against them, New Jersey. And I say, "Oh yeah, well yeah, tell me more about it. What do you think? How would I be a good fit?" And they said, well, the church is just, they had their pastor 25 years. He just retired. They're looking for a pastor long term. They're looking for a King James Bible pastor, a Scofield Bible pastor. And then he tries, you know, lay on the sales pitch. And he says, and this church, he'll get you a house. In a HOA, they'll get you a member, or they said they'll provide you a car, and this was the kicker. They said, and they'll even get you a membership to the local country club. And Mandy, she was sitting there listening to this whole conversation, and I said, well, thank you very much, and I said, we'll be praying about it, and you know, we hung up, and we got off the phone, and Mandy and I, we looked at each other, we laughed, and Mandy just said, we're not country club people. No, we're not. Now, if we would have considered that, and we didn't consider it, but if we would have considered it for the benefits, the Bible says that makes you as a pastor, that makes you a hireling. And so even as a pastor, you don't go somewhere based on what a church can or cannot offer you. If it is the Lord's will, the Lord always provides. And so, again, we say that you need to ask, what is God's will? What is the Lord's will for my life? You know, imagine you hired a contractor, right? And that contractor, they build the house. And they put it all together, but they never consult the blueprint. Now, it may look good for a while, but probably in the end, it's going to collapse. And that's what happens when we ignore God's plan. Things might look good for a while, but ultimately, things are going to collapse. But so, not only number one tonight, he mistook himself for God, but then secondly, we see he mistook his body for his soul. He mistook his body for his soul. Look back there, Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter 12. And verse number 19. The Bible says, and I say, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And so we see here, he confuses the need of the body with that of the soul. The Greek word soul here is the same word used for life. But it goes much deeper than just a mere physical existence. His philosophy was that of eat, drink, and be merry. Now, we've heard that phrase. Eat, drink, and be merry. Maybe you even said that phrase over the course of your life. Eat, drink, and be merry. And that was common in Greek culture. That was the idea. That life's goal is pleasure. That was what their goal was for their life, was that of pleasure. And listen today, people, they still live this way today. You know, again, diets and gyms and vacations and comfort and, you know, all for the body, all while the soul is starving. Jesus said in Luke 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You need to realize tonight that feeding the body, but neglecting your soul, it's like having the most pristine of cars, the greatest paint job, the best wheels. You keep it immaculate, showroom worthy, almost to where you never want to even drive it. You have the most premium wax on it. but then you never change the oil and you never fill it up with gas. It looks good until it breaks down. It looks good until it stops working. And so he mistook his body for his soul. He was more concerned about taking care of his body than he was his soul. Now, listen, I believe you ought to take care of your body. Here in the last couple of years, I've lost probably over 100 pounds working towards the kidney transplant. And I'll tell you, it feels good to, you know, lose some of the extra weight. It does. And, you should seek to be healthy and take care of yourself. But also take care of yourself spiritually. Always make sure you have that relationship with God. And so we see he mistook himself for God. He mistook his soul or his body for his soul. And thirdly and finally tonight, he mistook time for eternity. He mistook time for eternity. Notice there, verse number 19 again. He says there, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up. And notice what he says, for many years. For many years. He thought he had a whole lifetime ahead of him. But notice what God said, verse number 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, right here tonight, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now, the Greek word for required there in verse number 20, it carries the idea of demanded back. Now, that night, God was going to demand back his soul. So how could God demand his soul back? Simple tonight, because his soul didn't belong to him. And your soul doesn't belong to you. And my soul doesn't belong to me. And your life doesn't belong to you. And my life doesn't belong to me. And his life didn't belong to him. His life, my life, your life, our lives belong to God tonight. God simply loaned him life. And now God was demanding that life back. James 4:14, the Bible tells us, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. People all the time, they plan for retirement. And yes, we should plan for retirement. But yet they don't plan for eternity. They insure their homes. They insure their cars. They have car and health insurance, but they never secure their souls. A man once said, I'll get saved when I'm older. And how many people have that? Perhaps that same thought? Oh, I'll take care of that later. I'll get saved later. I'll get saved when I'm older. I'll get right with God later. But then just at the age of 35, he suddenly died in a car crash. Folks, tonight, eternity doesn't wait for your schedule. Eternity doesn't wait for my schedule. You need to make sure your soul is secure now. And now listen, this isn't to say tonight planning is wrong. In fact, the Bible commends planning. You go over, you read it in Proverbs chapter 6, but here's what God is trying to get us to understand tonight. Planning without God is presumption. Planning without God is presumption. Years ago, back in the 90s, there was a show that used to be on TV. It was called Becker. If any of you remember the TV show Cheers with Ted Danson. Ted Danson would later go on. He would play a doctor on this sitcom, Becker. And in one of the early seasons, one of the early episodes, one of his patients came in and he was there for his regular checkup or whatever. And so had his checkup and then towards the end of the checkup, offered the doctor two tickets to the Rangers-Flyers game that was going to be taking place at Madison Square Garden that night. And so he said, absolutely. And so, but then his nurse goes home sick. And so it's just the backup nurse. And so the whole office turns into a zoo. But somehow they get through the day. And he's getting ready to clock out for the day and make it to the Rangers game. And just as he's about to leave the doctor's office to go to the game, the phone rings. The nurse answers the phone. And that same patient he had seen just that morning, he had been at work, had a massive heart attack at his desk, and died. And so Dr. Becker, he goes through to his chart and goes flipping through his chart and says he just gave him a complete workup, doesn't understand how this can happen, doesn't understand how it can be. And there was a line somewhere in that episode that basically was to this effect, and I've heard it since, and I've used it since, but it was simply this: man plans, but God laughs. Man plans, but God laughs. And so our planning, if we do so without God, it's nothing but presumption. And so make sure when you're planning, you're always including God. You're always including the Lord. And so this man tonight, he made three costly mistakes. He mistook himself for God. He mistook his body for his soul. He mistook time for eternity. He lived for himself, for his flesh, and for the moment, and lost his soul forever. Here's what we can do tonight to make sure that never happens to us. Don't live like practical atheists. Yes, we're Christians tonight, but sometimes we can live our lives in a way that practically we're living like atheists. Like we don't even believe that God exists. We need to make decisions with prayer instead of without prayer. And then we need to feed our soul daily with the Word of God. We need to be in the Bible every single day. We need to live with eternity in view. Invest in missions, evangelism, discipleship. And then finally, go to Matthew chapter 6, last portion of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, and notice there, if you would, verses 19 through 21. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Nothing wrong with planning on this side of heaven, but also make sure you're laying up treasures for yourself in heaven. Don't make some of these costly mistakes that this man made. Always seek to have God in every aspect and every facet of your life. Let's pray.